Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
In Mark chapter 9, there is an account of a father who had a son that had a serious need. You're familiar with that passage. That's not our text. We're not going to turn there. I just want to remind you that the disciples questioned Jesus why they were not able to see deliverance for this young man. And Jesus said to them that this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. We spoke about deliverance at the beginning of the year for Israel. Of course, we know it was a few months ago for Israel because their calendar is not the same as ours. But in Exodus 12, God directed Israel to make their deliverance the first of the year, so that every year when they celebrated Passover, as a new year would come in, they would be focusing on the power of God through the blood to bring deliverance to their nation. A couple weeks ago, I shared from that as we start our year, it's appropriate for us too to look to the crucifixion and look to the empty tomb and to recognize that the deliverance that started way back in the garden, God began to deliver his people from the power of sin, was completed with Yeshua Messiah Jesus coming as our Lord and Savior. You remember what he said on the cross? It is finished. He finished the work for us. And so this morning, as we think about praying and fasting, I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles. Now, you're familiar with this, I know, but we're going to hang out here for just a moment in 2 Chronicles. And we're going to go to not chapter 7, we're going to end up at chapter 7 in a moment, but we're going to go to chapter 6. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. In this chapter, I'm just going to touch on some notes that are here. This is the passage that deals with the dedication of Solomon's temple. And it was a grand celebration. And it was a time when God's presence showed up and was visible. Remember the Shekinah glory of God? My wife showed me a video the other day where the Shekinah glory just moved around. I'm sure it was the Shekinah glory of God in this worship gathering. There were 60,000 people gathered worshiping the Lord. And the misty glory cloud just settled down. It was in one place and then in another place and then in another place, another place. And it was wonderful as they worshiped the Lord. Well, the Shekinah glory has not disappeared. Our God is still glorious, and he still shows up in his glory. And so in the temple, there was a tremendous manifestation of the presence of God. And of course, when we look in this chapter, we see this. But then this chapter also begins to identify that if sin moves in amongst God's people, that there is a remedy for that sin. There's a cost, but there's also a remedy. Verse 22 starts out, if someone wrongs another person and is required to take an oath of innocence in front of the altar of this temple, then hear from heaven, judge between your servants, punish the guilty, acquit the innocent. Verse 24. If your people Israel are defeated by their enemies because they have sinned against you. Obviously, sin impacts a nation. It impacts our lives. It impacts our safety, our security. And God is saying that if Israel is defeated because they've sinned, if they turn to you and call on your name and pray to you here in this temple, then here. Have you noticed what's going on in Israel? Have you noticed there have been prayer gatherings at the wall as close as they can get to the temple grounds? Jewish people, Messianic believers, Christians are gathering and praying. Then hear from heaven. This is the request. Then hear from heaven. Forgive their sins. Return them to this land they gave to their ancestors. And Israel has never fully inherited all the land. It's not because God didn't make it available. It's because Israel as a nation ended up negotiating with the enemies rather than cleansing the land and pushing them out. Look at verse 26. If the skies are shut up, there's no rain, no rain. Because your people have sinned against you. And then they pray toward this temple and confess your name and turn from their sins because you have punished them. 27 says, then hear from heaven, forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them to do what is right. Send rain on your land. Look at verse 28. If there is a famine, do you see how a nation that sins against God releases a number of curses upon the land if there's a famine in the land or plagues? Plagues. I want you to see that because we're going to see this in another place. Or plagues. That's diseases. Some have said that perhaps that was referred to as diseases like the bubonic plague. I would suggest that COVID is a plague. Whether it was birthed by man's hands, it was demonically inspired. It was a plague. This is one of the reasons why we need to be led by the Spirit when there are things in the land that the enemy is bringing against the land. Plagues, crop disease, or look at this, locusts. You've seen in the news where the locusts have shown up in some strange places so thick that the ground is black. Or caterpillars. Or if your people's enemies are in the land besieging their towns, whatever the trouble is, and if your people offer a prayer concerning their troubles or sorrow, raising their hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and forgive. Now this is the prayer that's being offered up. Give your people whatever they deserve, for you alone know the human heart. Then they will fear you and walk in your ways as long as they live in the land. And look at verse 32. Even there's a prayer for the foreigners. And when foreigners hear of you and your mighty miracles and they come from distant lands to worship your great name and to pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and grant what they ask of you. Then all the people of the earth will come to know and fear you, just as your own people Israel do. They too will know that this temple I have built. Your people go out at your command to fight their enemies in verse 34. And if they pray toward this city that you have chosen, toward this temple that I've built for your name, then hear the prayers from heaven and uphold their cause. If any of you caught any of the Israeli news reporters that say we now need to pray for Israel. We call upon the Christians to pray with us for Israel. And I'm thrilled to hear them say, salvation is only in the Lord. They're at war with their planes and their tanks and their guns and their soldiers. But more and more they're crying out to God and they're saying, if there's victory, it's in the Lord. And I believe that's important for them to say and to understand. Look at verse 36. If they sin against you, and who has never sinned, you may become angry with them and let their enemies conquer them and take them captive to a foreign land, far or near. But in that land of exile, they may turn to you again in repentance and pray, we have sinned and done evil and acted wickedly. Then if they turn to you with their, what? Whole heart and soul and pray toward the land you gave to their ancestors, toward this city you have chosen, toward this temple I built to honor your name. Then hear their prayers from heaven, where you live, uphold their cause. Oh God, be attentive to all the prayers made in this place. Now, O Lord God, arise and enter this resting place of yours where your magnificent ark has been placed. May your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your saints rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember your unfailing love. Now we come to chapter 7. This chapter, we know, we quote it so much, but I wanted to start there and show you a nation that was not always all that righteous, but there is an answer. And this is why we're praying and we're fasting for our families and our nation for revival. Because God hears us when we pray. In chapter 7, when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven. That's a heavenly lightning bolt. And burned up the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. The fire on the altar was from heaven. It was not a strange fire. It was not lit by man. It was ignited by God Himself. He heard their prayer and responded. And He burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. We used to sing a song. You are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And then we would sing, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am the temple. There's going to be another temple built, but let me tell you, God is building His temple right in this room this morning. You are the temple of God. And you know what the Word says? Jesus said this about the gates of hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I will build my church. Know ye not? Know ye not? You are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I love that song. I love that declaration. I love that proclamation. I love to say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Not when we all get to heaven. I am right here, the dwelling place of God. And I invite you, as we continue in our season of prayer and fasting, to release our burdens to the Lord and return to the Lord and to welcome His glorious presence into our lives. The priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. Father, we want to just tell you again this morning that when we come in to a Bible study, we come into a prayer group, we come into our home, we come into this gathering on Sunday morning, we never have an agenda that excludes our total desire for you to show up in your glorious presence. And Father, may there never be a time that any of us, as pastors or teachers or evangelists or prophets, Father, that any of us as ministry leaders, that any of us would have an agenda that did not just surrender fully to the presence of God. I welcome you this morning, Father, for nothing else is more important than that you are here. And Father, we welcome you to show up and to speak through your people, to speak to your people, yes, but to speak through your people and to release your word and release your healing power upon us. Father, we are hungry for you. We're hungry for you. The priests could not even enter the temple of the Lord. Could any of you get a hold of this and just agree with me that it's time for the gatherings of the people of God to be noticeably recognizing the presence of God, and that God shows up in such a way that we are stricken with His presence and we are not focused on our traditions or agendas? This was in the first covenant. I believe Pentecost was a time where they came together, they prayed, they believed, and God showed up. And when God showed up, the fire came again. You see, the fire came here and consumed the sacrifices. The Word tells us to present our lives a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, He came with the fire, not the fire from an earthly altar or a denominational position or from man's intelligence, but the fire came from God's presence and ignited the hearts of the worshipers. And they were caught up by the wind of the Spirit, and their tongue was changed, and their life was changed, and their faith was changed, and their ministry was changed, and their families was changed. And then the devil began to scream, "Who are these people that are turning the whole world upside down? God, in the latter day rain, we welcome the fire from your altar to come anew and afresh to my heart, to our hearts. We're welcoming you, Lord, this morning. There's no other solution for our nation. Father, it's okay if we can't get through the door. If we're stuck out in the parking lots, wouldn't that be a big event? That in your churches across the nation, that no one could step inside the door because you decided to show up in your glory again. Father, we have become so worldly focused and program oriented that often your presence would not be missed. But Father, we don't want to go anywhere where you're not guiding us. The priests could not enter the temple because of the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. I remember when I saw people fall down in the presence of God, I said, "What is that about?" Somebody just told me this past week, "I don't believe in that stuff of falling down." Let me even get a hold of you, and the glory of the Lord shows up. You're not man enough to stand in God's presence. You get a revelation of God. You see see who God is. You see who you are. You see what the glory of God is, and that's released in your life. You have an experience. I remember I didn't even believe in it. I went up for prayer, and I got knocked flat on the floor. Nobody was pushing me, but something happened to me that morning. It's still happening this morning. Something happened that morning. That was the morning when, after an hour or 2 hours, however long it was, it was a long time, but the time came when, after I'd seen the Lord, I saw the Lord that morning, and I experienced His presence in a new way, and God dealt with all of my questions. Every question I had just said, ask me, what do you want to know? What's your question? What's your burden? What's your need? The time would come after I ran out of questions where in that vision I was having, why don't you get up now? And I couldn't move. Couldn't move. I said, Father, I can't move. How can I get up? He said, I want you to know that that's what you can do without me. Nothing. Why don't you raise up your hands? Okay, I couldn't raise a hand. Could not raise my arms. Father, how can I raise my arms? I can't move. That's right. You're not to raise your arms without me. You need me in your life. Why don't you raise your finger? And I couldn't raise a finger. I said, God, I can't even move a finger. I get it. I get it. There's nothing that I can do without you. Jesus said that, didn't He? He said, I don't do anything of myself. I don't say anything. I don't do anything unless it's what the Father is saying and doing. I am fully surrendered to the Father. And when God let me get up off the floor, I got up with this resounding message that I can do nothing of eternal value except by His Spirit. And this didn't start with the charismatics, and it didn't start with the Pentecostals. It started way back when men and women of God got into the presence of God, and the glory of God filled the house, and they had an encounter with God's glory. They could not stand in their strength because they were overwhelmed. I remember that day when a lady came up for prayer, and no one went down when I prayed for them in those days. And a lady came up, and I didn't even get to touch her, maybe just barely on her forehead. Stage was kind of like this. She fell like a rock off the mountain. Her head bounced off the stage. Bam! Like a coconut on the street. I thought, oh Jesus, she's dead. I've killed her. Lord, I don't believe I even touched her. I'd never seen that lady before. That lady experienced nothing other than the presence of God. When she got up, she said, I've been in the presence of God. See, we go into a church, maybe we remember one or two lines from the message, but if we go into the presence of God, it stays with us. And it changes us, and it moves us, and it strengthens us, and it gives us wisdom and anointing for the journey. And so when I read of this in chapter 7, see, we always go later in the chapter, but the fire... The people saw it too. All the people saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord. All the people, all of them, they fell face down on the ground. They didn't have catchers. I'm not opposed to catchers. I just know that the God who delivered me from so many things in my life, whether it was in a car or a motorcycle or a bunch of other crazy things I've done, the God who has delivered me from death time in and time and time and time again, that God is able to sustain us in His presence. No, I don't have any problem with catchers, but let me say this. When the glory of the Lord shows up, as I believe God's going to reveal His glory in this latter rain, the catchers will go down too. I'm looking for a Niagara of the presence of God, wherein no one can stand in the presence of God, but all of us go face down in His presence and recognize Him for who He is. They fell face down on the ground, worshiped, and praised the Lord, saying, He is so good, and His faithful love endures forever. Amen. As we move on through this, let's look at verse 13. Verse 13. Is tied in starting with verse 11. After Solomon finished building and the prayer meeting is completed, Solomon finished building the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he planned to do. Then one night, have you ever had one of those nights with God? I have. Then one night the Lord showed up. Father, we're praying for more nights where You show up again. We've prayed, right? We've prayed. But then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. And at times I might shut up the heavens so no rain falls. Or I might command locusts to devour your crops. Or I might send plagues among you. Then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
That's what I feel like next to God. Sometimes I think I'm praying too.